The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Good morning and happy Conspiracy Theory Thursday for December 19th. Final December, well, it's going to be the final Conspiracy Theory Thursday broadcast, for me at least, this year. After Monday, I'll be taking a week off for the Christmas holiday, and whoever's filling in for Hugh Hewitt, and maybe filling in for Hugh Hewitt's fill-in, will be filling in for me. Hey, that's the way it goes. Holidays happen, and the only way you get, you got the, you know, the B and C teams for everybody, but hey, I'm glad to have them around here. And we appreciate you listening one way or the other. And, of course, Mannheim Steamroller will be Christmas Eve and Christmas Day until about 6 o'clock. One day in which we're going to just kind of shut off the noise of the news. And yesterday, of course, stock market was just absolutely pounded. I took a look at my little baby 401k where I play around with some stocks and just doing a little bit of stock picking and doing all that sort of stuff. And I saw, like, you know, 5% down. And I forgot about the announcement of the rate cut from the Federal Reserve. I kind of forgot about that. I said, what the heck happened? I'm looking in there. Oh, Federal Reserve burped out another rate cut. Well, that wasn't the issue. Everybody was expecting the rate cut of 0.25%. 0.25%, that was all it was. But what it was, and I'm getting this from Sean Ring, one of my favorite bloggers in the Rude Awakening. Rude Awakening is a great online blog. I think they do great work over there. But this is how he puts it. Mr. Market will need a Bloody Mary to recover from yesterday's blood red day across the border. Jay Powell's Fed told the market that in 2025, it can expect fewer cuts than initially thought, two cuts instead of four. In other words, we need the heroin. Heroin, give us the heroin. Give us the fentanyl. We can't survive unless we have ultra-cheap money so that we can just push it into the system. That's kind of what the market was saying. They just kind of did a hissy fit like the John West recall voters, right? And Sean continues, like a spoiled child, Mr. Market took a dump in his diapers in the middle of a packed mall. So anyway, there we go. That's just it. And it's not because they didn't get a rate cut, but that they were told that they're not going to be getting as much candy in 2025. And they're talking about, and the reason Powell says we're going to do fewer rate cuts, not that I'm any expert on the rate cuts and the finance. I'm not a financial guy, but I just read a lot of this stuff. And I talk with good people, smart people like Matt, who calls me up. You know, he's a stock guy that I talk with every now and then. And what it really comes down to is 4 or 5% on these overnight rates, I guess, is not high traditionally, but they're high right now when you have everything in bubble territory, everything from the price of housing to the price of stocks to the price of all the other various assets, and also the price of government debt. I mean, that's the real thing. I was fascinated listening to Donald Trump talking about, I think it was Hannity talking about President Trump and saying, well, and Donald Trump says he wants to, get Powell seriously and we need cheaper money. He says we need cheaper money. Don, on one hand, is saying he wants to protect the dollar, but then he wants cheaper money. Well, the higher interest rates actually protect the dollar. Cheaper money is, print more money, gold goes to the moon, and that's what it really means. So it's kind of like you're working at cross purposes. That's just the reality. And I know that realtors, if you're a realtor, you didn't want to hear this coming from the Federal Reserve because, I know, you've been hurting people trying to sell houses rapidly at a good price because everybody got locked in. And, well, look at what I did. I've told you about it. I got locked in at 3%. What was it, 2-3 years ago? When they were given the money, I would have been stupid not to have done so. I went from a 5% mortgage down to about a 3, and it would take an awful lot to sell. It would take an awful lot for me to sell because I would, could I get the value for it? You could either have high interest rates and low housing prices, or you could have low interest rates and high housing prices. That's kind of the way it's been working for a while, right? But you're not going to have, but to have high interest rates, relatively speaking, at least by the way we've been looking at it over the last 10, 15 years, high interest rates and high housing prices, that makes it a bit tougher. That makes it a lot tougher, and that's why things are a little bit locked up or gummed up in that right now. The system is looking for cheap money, but you look at the inflation in the economy, and the economy doesn't deserve cheap money. There shouldn't be cheap money in the economy when you look at the inflation which is going on. Look at the inflation in the cost of services. And I know this is just a stupid observation, or just a silly observation, not stupid, but it was real. I hadn't gone to the Rogue Valley Mall for quite some time. I'm not a big shopper. Linda tends to do a little bit more of that kind of stuff of shopping in the mall when that sort of activity is going on. But I went in there. I was looking around for some cookware. Linda needed some replacements for some cookware. So I was taking a look. And so I thought, you know, I don't come here to the mall very often. So I'm going to go over to that pretzel shop over in the food court. And I'm going to get me a pretzel. I know it's bad. I know it's all carbs, but it's just got, it has those wonderful hot pretzels, the soft pretzels with a hot, greasy, butter-like substance put on it, and about a week's worth of salt intake also sprinkled on it, right? I know they're not good for you, but I love them. I love them. Like I have one a year or two a year, something like that. It's just it's a guilty pleasure. And I hadn't bought one in quite some time. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, $3.85. Maybe $4, something like that. I'm thinking that's probably what it is. And even that is overpriced in my mind. So I go over to the pretzel stand. It's about $7. $7 for a stupid piece of bread wrapped in the shape of a pretzel with butter-like substance poured on it. And like I said, a week's worth of salt intake. Boy, inflation sure hit the food cart. I hadn't been there for a long time. Now, maybe you are used to that. And there were people in line, and I took a look at that. $7 for a soft pretzel. It doesn't pencil for me. And so I walked on. There's a lot of that in the economy, just about everywhere you look. I'm in Sherm's the other week, and gosh, what was it? The Willamette eggs, a dozen eggs. I think it was $5.40, something in that neighborhood between $5 and $6 a dozen. That's not reasonable. That's the inflation from the cost of not only labor, the regulatory issues, probably shooting vaccines into the chickens for all we know. I don't know. And also the inflation in the cost of energy and everything involved in producing chicken and chicken eggs, right? I recall not that long ago, what, maybe 2-3 years ago, a dozen eggs, what? You can see it on special for $1.25 a dozen, maybe $1.50, you know, that sort of thing. Those are real inflationary pressures in the economy. And so Powell's looking at all of this. Powell realizes that this is what's going on. He already kind of promised a 0.25% reduction, but he's probably right in saying that, you know, there's still too much inflationary pressures in the economy. And in good conscience, if he's actually doing his job, he can't cut them. And the market, of course, threw up on him. You know, that's right. Kind of like, you know, the cat. You know, my cat, Matt. My cat, Matt, who throws up, we call them fur turds. He just, right there in the, that's what happened with the market yesterday. Now, today, the market futures are a little bit better. They're looking a bit better. Could be people buying dips, you know, that sort of thing. But I don't know. There's still way more inflation in the system. And everybody knows that there's more inflation in the system than they're reporting. So when they're talking about, consumer prices up year over year about 3%, you can laugh at them. You know that. You know the difference. This is just the reality of where we find ourselves. So I got to tell you, it's going to be an interesting 2025 because Donald Trump has made some big promises and he's got some good people working on stuff. We're going to protect the dollar. We're going to make sure that everybody else wants to keep the dollar, but we're going to get the money cheap so we can get the economy going again. One of these things is not like the other. They're kind of mutually opposing things. Maybe they can thread that needle. I certainly hope that is the case. I don't know if I'm ever going to see my soft pretzel be less than $7. Maybe. But see, that's just it. The inflation in this economy has been very sticky. the rate of inflation may have gone down. They'll say, well, it's not as high as it was during the worst of the Biden administration. And that might be true. But most of the prices haven't retreated. It's not like all of a sudden your health care insurance, because inflation went down, that your health care insurance went down 5, 10, 12%. No, the prices haven't gone backwards. All very sticky. 21 after 6, this is the Bill Meyer Show. We can talk about that, anything else on your mind, because, hey, it is Conspiracy Theory Thursday. John West in court yesterday. Yep, trying to get the court to say that the recall against him was improperly done, illegal, on the signature gathering. We'll tell you that story coming up.
Our family at Clouser Drilling has grown tremendously over the years. From the area we serve, to the size of projects we can handle, to adding more drill rigs to meet demand. This year was extra special as we welcome 3 new babies into the Clouser family that will join the next generation. It's been a busy year for the team at Clouser Drilling, and we want to thank you for your continued support. Wishing you and your family a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and much success in the new year from our family at Clouser Drilling.
Have your taxes gotten off track? Just call Zach, CPA at First Response Resolution. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today to see what Zach can do for you. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point is your first response to the IRS, defending your rights as a taxpayer.
Are life's demands limiting your time for dinner? Let Cartwright's Market help you out. Dinners made easy by Cartwright's Market allow you to pick up one of the many delicious ready-to-cook items. Cartwright's has meatloaf, chicken Mexicano, chicken cordon bleu, and the carne asada that's marinated and ready to be cooked. Stop by the Cartwright's Market Deli and grab one of their freshly made salads like the Italian pasta salad, broccoli slaw, cucumber slaw, or dill potato salad. In the produce department, Cartwright's always has fresh, organic vegetables. Top off your meal with dessert. Cartwright's Market has tasty cheesecakes, seasonal pies, cakes, pastries, and cookies. Some of the bakery specials include pumpkin cheesecake, apple crisp, pumpkin spice cake, and pear and cranberry crostata. And if you don't feel like cooking, check out the grab-and-go section, where Cartwright's has pot roasts, shepherd's pie, lasagna, and even chicken pot pie. Make your life a little easier with the help of Cartwright's Market. You'll find them on Union Avenue in Grants Pass and on Stewart Avenue in Medford. Stop in to Cartwright's Market.
Hi, I'm Michael with Gage of Construction, and I'm on KMED.
Before we get to the phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, John West, you may recall, it's a number of weeks back that he ended up filing a lawsuit, having Stephen Junkus file a lawsuit against the Josephine County clerk. Because when they were doing this whole thing for the recall election, they did statistical sampling of the petitions that were turned in by the hissy fit crowd. Okay. And instead of actually looking at all the signatures and making sure there weren't any duplicates, et cetera, they took 10% of it. And John, Stephen Junkus, were telling me, hey, listen, state law says that you're supposed to look at all of them in recall elections, that there was a specific law. And I actually took a look at the law, and they're right. But the judge said no. Aaron Landau, lawyer for the Josephine County clerk, ends up countering that the law is settled and has been so for many decades. The judge saying that statistical sampling is how you verify the signatures. Aaron Landau, rather, lawyer. There he is. But the judge, rather, did find that the petition lacked merit and denied West's request to void the election. This reported in today's Daily Courier, okay? He said, although at first blush it appears the clerk is required to count all signatures, the law is clear that the process of verifying signatures is a statistical sampling method. So what we do then to figure out if something is legitimate is that we poll it. That's really what we're doing in the state of Oregon, statistically sampling the petitions. And we'll see how many are bad, right? And if there's only a certain number of bad in 10%, then we're going to figure that in all the other 90%, everything's fine. So they're really taking a poll, aren't they? Isn't that interesting to have anything when it comes to the counting and verification of our elections being done with a poll? That's fascinating to me. Maybe that's how they get away with it in those national voting machines, the ones that, you know, the companies that end up suing anybody that makes any kind of question, the software that you're not allowed to look at because it's proprietary, all that kind of stuff. Maybe that's how they do it. Maybe that's how the cheat gets done. We just take a poll of the votes, a statistical sampling of them. Then we come up with an algorithm You think I'm kidding? Let me go to Tom. It is Conspiracy Theory Thursday. How you doing this morning, Tom? Good to have you on.
Oh, doing fine. Yeah, I wanted to talk about the inflation, but what you just described, I would call it voting racketeering, and that's our system right now.
But it is settled. The law is settled, according to the judge, and if the guy in the black robe says it's settled, by gosh, you know, sit down, shut up, and just fly right, you little citizens.
Isn't it just so absurd, the kind of voting system we have now where there's no verification, there's no security. I mean, it's beyond absurd.
Well, they were claiming that they weren't hooked up to the internet. That was one of the big claims. That no, nothing ever. And then they find out, yeah, it's like the difference between a conspiracy theory and the confirmation of the hinky that is still capable in this country's electoral system is a few months and a few lawsuits. And even though you have some of these people that have gone to prison, there's that one clerk that ended up, or the one citizen ended up going to prison for sharing some of the information that she found. I forget exactly her story, but I think you know which one I'm talking about. You recall that story, but
yeah, there's a conspiracy theory and there's conspiracy fact, and the fact has been proven. And the lemons, that's us, just keep going along with the fraud and pretend. It's pretend voting.
Hey,
all we got to
do is vote harder. It's gonna be fine. Okay. Anyway, back to the inflation, though. Please give your take on it, because I started off with this, because the inflation's higher than they thought. Powell is actually probably being responsible, which means he'll be fired when the Trump administration comes in, because every president wants someone who's going to give him cheap money. Every president. No president wants expensive money. They just don't. Okay.
Well, you've heard me rattle the cage. My contention is that the inflation, that every time you go to the grocery store or the gas station, we're paying for the Ukraine war. And the system, what really needs to be addressed is the system. And what happens with the government having access to the print machine is they remove the choice of citizens of where our money goes.
Well, they never have to be concerned about being able to tax you directly. They tax us indirectly through the inflation tax. And so we'll kind of leave it at that, right? That's it.
Well, now don't leave it just at that, but it's important for people to understand that their government itself has been hijacked and that you cannot expect Trump to come in and fix that. It's the system that's sick. It's not just these corrupt politicians.
It's going to be a high lift to do all the reforming that would be needed, but maybe Donald Trump will be a good start. Maybe that's the way to look at it. And if he can get some of it taken care of, it's better than what would have happened with Kamala. All right. Appreciate the call there, Tom. 770-5633. Dave, you wanted to talk about the inflation. You were shopping over in Roseburg. You're up in the Roseburg area right now. What happened?
Yeah, I was at Thunderbird, and I was buying stuff for sandwiches because of the situation I'm in.
Mm-hmm. And of course, by the way, when are you going to get to move back to your house or get another house?
I'm hoping to next month.
Oh,
I got to work out an electrical problem. I need to generate electrical power to operate the heater.
Well, the problem with generating electrical power down in the Iron Gate, they took the dam out, so no dam for you, right? Just
right.
Kidding.
Well, but, and my generator that I had went through the fire. I don't know if I can get it running, but there's a guy that said he'd donate one to me. I just haven't gotten it, and I was tired of sleeping in my truck, so I came up here to my friend Colby's.
Yeah, it's a cold time of year to be sleeping in the truck. We know that. Back to the to what you were doing at Sherm's, though. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was buying lunch stuff, and so I needed some mayonnaise, and I was looking at this reduced price mayonnaise. It was $17, and it was reduced to $9. And
are you serious? No, hold on. Now, how big of it? Now, was this like a Costco size mayonnaise jar? Because
no. It's a standard big bottle that they sell at Thunderbird. It's not the giant bottle.
Are you sure you're right about that price? $17 normal and then at $9 on sale?
That's what the lady told me, because I said, well, that said it was reduced. And she says, yeah, it was reduced from $17 to $9.
And that's not like the Duke's mayonnaise or any of those specialty mayonnaises that
no,
are more expensive?
It's Best Foods.
Oh, Best Foods.
I don't buy anything.
I thought the best foods, when I was at Food for Less not that long ago, I paid about $6 for one.
Yeah, well, I paid for one of those spray ones, $7.95, that's, you know, not as big. And so.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So it's not a jar. You're using the spray. Okay. Yeah. See, you're paying a lot more for the convenience of
This one that I got this time is a jar one.
All right.
But the deal is it was the most expensive thing I had to buy, but I had to have it.
Yeah. I can see the day coming in which more people are going to start making mayonnaise. It's not all that hard to do. And plus, you can get away from the seed oil. Maybe we'll have to talk about that some morning. Okay, Dave? Thanks for the call. It's 6:32 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. We're going to shift gears over into the United Nations conspiracy. They're out there talking about, yes, we need to buy up more of your land and control more of your land in order to save the planet from CO2. Gregory Wrightstone weighs in on that conspiracy coming up.
Life's busy, and you need to be on time, on the road, on schedule, and where you need to be. Power on with trusted, dependable car batteries from Batteries Plus. 700-plus locations nationwide.
The Artisan Bakery Cafe is the place for festive indulgence. Treat yourself to their cream-filled eggnog beignet with rum filling, flaky peppermint-filled Napoleons, assorted cookie boxes, German Fruchtstollen, candy cane buttercream scones, and spiced gingerbread loaf. These delicious creations are perfect for gifts and must-haves for holiday parties. A season to remember with treats from Artisan Bakery Cafe, Tuesday through Friday, 7 to 3, Saturday, 8 to 3, across from South Fred Meyer, or order online at artisanbakerycafemedford.com.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. President-elect Donald Trump has delivered a likely death blow to bipartisan congressional budget negotiations, rejecting the measure as full of giveaways to Democrats. A joint statement was issued by Mr. Trump and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance, which stopped the bill in its tracks. The suspect charged with shooting to death a health insurance company chief executive on a Manhattan street, Luigi Mangione, is being taken this morning to hearings on related Pennsylvania criminal charges and efforts to extradite him to New York. Police say the shooter who killed a student and a teacher at a religious school in Wisconsin this week brought two guns to the school. The 15-year-old girl was also in contact with a man in California who authorities say was planning to attack a government building. On Wall Street, just before the opening bell, Dow futures were up 348 points. More details at srnnews.com.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before December 31st and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is December 31st. So call now and you'll save even more. Here's the number. 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. 844-45-BIBLE.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. Provided by Dish.
This holiday season, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. wants to extend a heartfelt thank you to all of their amazing customers. Your trust and support have made this year truly special. As everyone celebrates this joyous time, they want to wish you happy holidays and a happy new year filled with warmth, happiness, and prosperity. From the Westfall team to your home, thank you for choosing Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Visit them at StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com for all your roofing solutions.
You want price transparency? I'll give you price transparency. Joel here with Butler Ford and Truck Center, and from now through the end of December, I'm posting every invoice on every single new Ford on the lot. Walk the lot, see your invoice price, and let's make a deal. I've got 44 F-150s with the invoices posted, 56 Super Duties with the invoices posted, 51 Broncos with the invoices posted. Plus, I've got Escapes, Explorers, Rangers, Mavericks, Mustangs. All 226 new Fords on the lot have the invoice posted at Butler Ford for the rest of December. And remember, if you're a business owner looking to take advantage of the $179 tax deduction for the year-end purchase, Butler Ford is your $179 headquarters. All my Super Duties qualify for the $179 deduction, or maybe you want a lease. Come see me, and I'll show you how it's done. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes down the freeway in Ashland, right off of exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned, your savings. Well, we got it all. And for the rest of December, dealer invoices clearly posted, making it easy for you to get a great deal on your next Ford.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
By the way, if you're looking for a last-minute Christmas gift that would actually help educate someone who just doesn't know anything about this climate change argument, might we suggest you pick up a copy of A Very Convenient Warming, How Modest Warming and More CO2 Are Benefiting Humanity. And you know who wrote that? It's our friend Gregory Wrightstone. He's a geologist and the executive director of the CO2 Coalition in Arlington, Virginia. I guess you moved to Fairfax, but you actually live down in the free state of Florida. Isn't that right, Greg? Welcome back. Good to have you on.
Yeah, it is. It's you're going to laugh when I say it's a little bit chilly here, but it's in the high 60s, which is. But we are based out of Fairfax, Virginia. The office is there, so I split my time between the two. And Yeah, so we enjoyed nearly 80 degree temperature yesterday.
Did you really? Wow. Yeah. Now here we've been kind of a little warmer after a really cold number of weeks where we had lots of freezing fog and an inversion here in our valley. You've been down here. You've been with John and us all hanging out together. And we get these inversions every now and then are just really something. Cold in the valley and warm in the mountains is what we end up getting. But I ended up getting a power bill, and Pacific Power sends me a little nag thing saying, you know, boy, you used much more power than normal last month. And I was thinking, yeah, because it was cold. Do you get nagging notes like that in Florida power bills, or is that something that they only do out on the West Coast? Do you know?
No, we don't get anything like that. But I can tell you our monthly power bill has gone up significantly over the last really 3 or 4 years. I mean, by a lot.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, same here.
We're
same
here. Yeah. Yeah, I think, and there was an article I just read this morning about California, how their electricity prices have really, really gone up. And you've probably seen the same thing in Oregon as what we're seeing all across the country.
And they're trying to push them up higher here, especially because, the claim is that we need to pay for the wildfire mitigation, you know, strengthening the lines and getting the trees away from it, all that kind of stuff, which should have been done all along, you would have thought. But I digress. What do I know?
Yeah, no doubt. How about if we do better forest management? That's a good start right there.
But that might mean a tree gets cut. It's much better to...
Exactly.
You know here, Greg, having visited the Northwest, having visited Southern Oregon, is that we think it's actually much holier to burn the forest rather than actually use them for anything useful. That's just it. That's the way we are. We're odd people.
Yeah, one of the problems we see in the West is the rise of cheatgrass, which is an invasive species. And it's that cheatgrass that... when it dries out, it can dry out. It's called a 2-hour fuel because it can have rained the day before, and then you get your hot, dry winds, particularly California's Santa Ana winds, the Diablo winds, that can dry out that grass in a 2-hour period, and just takes the spark to take off. So this cheatgrass is usually what starts the fires, and then of course they get built bigger and bigger. Until actually, you know, you get the larger limbs being consumed. Mm-hmm. It's that cheatgrass really is the kindling for most of the fires.
You know, I hear very few people besides yourself talking about the cheatgrass. And would it even be a possibility of eradicating something like that? Because no. I know they've been after, the star thistle. We still have that and all sorts of other invasive plants. Is it pretty much done?
It's nearly impossible. We have the same problem here in the East that spread. It's called Japanese. my brother's property.
What's it called? Mountain I'm sorry, I missed you. I missed what you said.
Japanese stilt grass.
Oh.
And we've not had a problem with fires here in the east because of it yet, because there has not been a big drought, which is what, you know, it's got to be dry. Mm-hmm. You need the kindling, that grass. And so we've tried. He has eradicated it from his property, but it's only, I think, 50 acres, and it has to be done chemical. Not many people want to put glyphosate or Roundup on there. Use a lot of that on their property. I get that.
But very difficult to kill is what you're telling me, right? No natural enemies from the sounds
exactly.
of it. All right. Hey, Greg, why don't we talk briefly about this, about your book here, A Very Convenient Warming, because you're coming out there and you're not some of those people that are saying, no, it's not getting warmer. It's a conspiracy theory that you think it's getting hotter. It's fine, because there are some that will say that. But the data does indicate that the planet is warming. And you say, though, that this is a good thing, and it's a reasonable warming, and that it is nothing to be concerned about, and that the carbon dioxide, with you being in the CO2 coalition, the carbon dioxide is something to be welcomed and embraced, not something to be feared and shunned. Why is that?
Yeah, well, here in the Christmas season, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. Number one, there is no climate crisis. And number two, by almost every metric we look at, Earth's ecosystems are thriving and prospering, and humanity is benefiting from modest warming and more CO2. We should celebrate that. You know, people like Al Gore or Greta Thunberg or John Kerry.
Have you ever read news releases from Ron Wyden or Jeff Merkley, our two senators out here?
No.
They usually try to outdo one another to see how often they can say climate chaos or climate crisis. So,
yeah,
you know, they need to read your book, I think. Maybe I should buy one for them.
But anyway. There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. No, there just isn't. We see the warming means longer growing seasons. And that's fueling the greening of the earth. And then we see that the CO2 is turbocharging plant growth and crop growth. It's really I call it the greatest untold story of the 21st century, that of a thriving of our ecosystems. And like I was saying, Greta Thunberg and John Kerry and those, they would call me a science denier. I'm very science-based. But you know what I call them? History deniers. Because they deny what human history tells us. And human history tells us that the warm periods like we're in today and over the last 2,000 more years, 4,000 years, humanity has benefited from much warmer temperatures, warmer than we are today. It's always been related. Human history tells us that warm periods are good, and the colder periods, like the Greek Dark Ages, the Dark Ages, or the Little Ice Age, are horrific. Horrific. Each one of those cold periods was associated with crop failure, famine, pestilence, and mass depopulation.
Right. Well, think about the stories in which we find the people and the woolly mammoths frozen in the permafrost. You know, it's like they didn't die from too much warmth at that point in time.
Well, exactly. Or if you travel a little bit north and go up to Juneau, and you'll see in my book, I've got a picture of me and my wife on the Mendenhall Glacier. Well, 1,000 feet below us at the base of that glacier, the glacier's retreating, yes, admittedly, because it's warming. That's what happens. But 1,000 feet below us, in my book, there are fully grown mature trees that are now being exposed. And they were growing as a mature forest 1,000 years ago, right where that glacier is today. So you just look at that and you say, it had to have been a lot warmer back then.
Well, yeah, to have those full-grown trees there underneath the glacial ice, which is retreating. So was the world being destroyed by that heat that had the forest in Alaska at that time or not? Would you say?
No. Yeah, history and human history, and I find it fascinating, and I capture this in the book, but I find that history tells us we should welcome the warmth and fear the cold. And isn't it just opposite of what you're hearing with the mainstream media peddles? They tell us we dare not get a degree and a half degrees or degree and a half Celsius above what it was at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution.
Well, what was Al always talking about? The Earth has a favor, and I'm here to fix it. You know, the Earth has a favor, that kind of thing. In all seriousness, though, is there a case to be made, though, that the warming that we are experiencing could be leading to more of a problem with the way we design our society as far as our homes and the way we cool ourselves? And I'm talking about the urban heat island effect, which tends to, you know, you fill up an area that used to be covered with trees and grass, and then you put cities and asphalt down, and those areas tend to get much warmer, and everyone's clamoring for air conditioning, right? Air conditioning all the time.
Yeah.
And yet I can think of house designs over in the desert areas in which they look for a way to cool houses more naturally. So, I mean, do we have perhaps, we're not really designing societies correctly when it comes to staying cool in the summertime? I don't know if you ever get into that kind of stuff. I know you're a geologist, but it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
No, but if we look at we use the United States Historical Climate Network. We have accurate data, fairly accurate, mm-hmm. going back to 1895 that we can – There are problems with the urban heat island effect, but what we find is most of the warming that we find in the states we look at has occurred at nighttime. The coldest nighttime temperatures are increasing. If you follow me, instead of 20 degrees is the coldest, it's 22 degrees.
All right, so it's higher lows, not massively higher highs, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Got it.
And we find heat waves are definitely increasing, and heat waves spiked 80 or 90 years ago in a low CO2 environment within the atmosphere. And it's really and for farmers in the agricultural sector, this cold nighttime increase in cold nighttime temperatures can be hugely beneficial. I know you have a lot of orchards in Oregon. And what do you fear if you have an orchard? What do you fear the most? It's a late spring killing frost, isn't it?
Every time.
It can devastate you. And because it's a little bit warmer, there are fewer of those and may not happen at all. And so that's a huge benefit right there, just from the fruits. And again, extended growing seasons, because the killing frosts end earlier in the spring and arrive later in the fall. And I think the people of Canada would welcome a little bit of warmth just to your north.
Even think about CO2 and the way our greenhouse operators work things with plants. It's well known that one of the things that is done quite often is that you'll take propane burners and you'll put them inside greenhouses to raise the CO2 level within your area, within your greenhouse. So yeah, that way you have healthier fruit and plants that you're trying to grow in there because it's plant food, right? It's
exactly.
So simple.
Yeah. And there, you may not be aware, most aren't. We're going to be getting into this with a new report at the CO2 Coalition. The difference, there are two types of plants. There are C3 plants and C4 plants. C4 is like soybeans and corn, and they benefit from CO2. But not as much as the C3 plants, because these C4 plants came up and arose in a low CO2 network.
What's a C3 plant? I've never heard that term.
Most of our crops are C3s.
Okay.
They benefit hugely from CO2. But even with corn, that might have benefit up to 400 parts per million. What's interesting, if you take a CO2 meter in the middle of a cornfield, there could be a nearly 500 part per million difference between nighttime and daytime within that cornfield, because the corn, let's say 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a windless day, is just sucking the CO2. It can plummet within that cornfield.
No kidding.
And so, but if you get on a high stepladder, get above the corn where the air is mixed, we have regular ambient CO2. But within that cornfield, The corns, you know, they're if they had little hands, they'd be rubbing them together in glee because they're loving the high CO2. But they're sucking it out of the atmosphere.
But still, it comes right down to it, though, is that you point out in this book very clearly, and the scientific backing and evidence, that this modest warming and the CO2 is actually benefiting us. And I guess in some ways, I know this kind of sounds weird to say, but if we hadn't started burning coal and oil and all those various fuels back in the day, could we have been into an extinction level kind of event by now with just CO2 so low that the crops wouldn't have grown.
It could occur at some point in the future, but it, normally we see these very low levels of CO2 occurring during ice advances, glacial advances, and during that time, the oceans are the big driver of CO2 levels, and colder oceans suck up CO2. Since we're in a warm period, that's not occurring as much as it is during the really cold periods. I think because the next ice age, when it comes, will be horrific. We won't have to worry too much about CO2. It'll be more a matter of just survival if we look back at what happened 11,000 years ago or more.
Which is not that long ago in geologic time. I mean, that's your field of study, right? 11,000 years, that's nothing. It's a blink.
Yeah, we got to, it was about 15,000 years ago, we got to the lowest level of the last several million years, and that was 182 parts per million, very close to what I call the line of death, which is 150. Below that 150, plant life can't exist. If that occurred, we would be in a true climate apocalypse. That's a climate crisis, not just fake warming.
How long... or how high has it been? And do we know have a way of measuring how high CO2 may have been in the past during, let's say, warmer periods, perhaps of those tropical areas era of humans' existence? Do we know what it was like?
Yeah, we've just published a report on the measurement of CO2 using ice cores. And we can go back 800,000 years using Antarctic ice core data, and we find that each of these, we're in a warm interglacial period. Each of those, we were maxed out at about 285 or 300 parts per million, and we're 50% higher.
Okay.
And that's because we're burning coal. We're burning and using natural gas and oil. The increase in CO2 is from our emissions. It just is. And that's okay.
Is there a dangerous level of CO2 in our atmosphere that we would have to watch out for?
Well, it depends where you look. The USDA has a pretty good summary on that. And if you get above 5,000, 8,000 parts per million, which would be 20 times what it is today, it can affect humanity and your physical condition. But we're never going to get to that.
But that's kind of the levels that you might find in a submarine sometimes, from what I recall.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the submariners do just fine at 5,000 and 6,000 parts per million. Again, it's 400 today. So
there's a lot of room. In other words, there's a lot of wiggle room then in the CO2 level before you start panicking about stuff. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
The USDA, because USDA it takes care in this, because in the food packing industry, there's a lot of dry ice that's used in various processes, and dry ice, what is it? Frozen CO2.
That's
and
right.
So as it's thawing, it just goes into the atmosphere, and getting pretty high CO2 levels because of that, and so they monitor it in a lot of these food processing facilities.
I was reading this article in Grist, and I know that I have no doubt you've read this one too. It looks like a whole bunch of scientists are wanting to take over the decision about climate change and biodiversity and all the rest of it, and they don't want any individual decisions being made. I guess they're looking for a global solution, and they want to pick up a lot of land, buy up, and take a lot of United Nations land, and just lock people away from it. Is that going to help?
It's not. That does not make sense. This is the same UN, and they were talking about biodiversity. Mm-hmm. This is the same UN group that just 3 years ago published a report that I expose is just complete fraud. And they were claiming that we're in the sixth great extinction, which is ludicrous. We're actually extinctions are lessening over the last 80 or 90 years than what it was 100 and 150 years ago. And so that's not a problem. But the one thing they were right about is that the greatest threat to endangered species is loss of habitat. And
okay.
What's their solution, Bill? What's their solution to solve this non-existent problem? Pave over thousands of square miles and put up solar panels. Cut down mature forests for wind turbine industrial scale facilities.
If you're talking about taking care of the animal biodiversity out there, paving over the, putting solar plants on their on their habitat doesn't sound like a great plan either. Just me thinking out loud.
Oh my goodness, yes. And they're also, believe it or not, in North Carolina and Southern Virginia, cutting down mature forests, turning them into pellets, and shipping them to the United Kingdom. So they're cutting down mature forests and then burning them for fuel. And that's considered green. It's considered renewable energy because this forest will eventually grow back. It's just who comes up with these ideas?
Yeah, I guess it's a matter of wherever the grift and the grant stream funding is going these days, Gregory. Where can people find out more, A, about your book? What is your main website, and where can people can kind of keep up on the papers that you're releasing over on the CO2 Coalition? Where are the best places to go?
Well, if you do a net search or Google for my new book, just two words, convenient and warming. Convenient warming.
Convenient warming.
You can go purchase. That'll take you to my website or to Amazon. A great source of information is the CO2 Coalition website, co2coalition.org. And when you get there, you can be taken directly to our educational system for children, co2learningcenter.com. So we've got a whole series of science-based comic books, videos, and we provide free lesson plans as a PDF.
Yeah, and this is to counter the hysteria that most of the kids are getting in our public schools in Oregon. That would be an antidote, actually, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and we've just published. I think it may be available next week. My latest foray is into a children's book series, and this first one is called Chloe the Clownfish Sleeps Well, and it details a clownfish named Chloe that was taught in school that the Great Barrier Reef where she lived was in great danger, and her family were in danger. And we go through in detail using fascinating artwork and comics. Where they get that wrong. And I was assisted by Dr. Peter Ridd, that collaborated with me. He's top expert in the world on the Great Barrier Reef. And he was fired from James Cook University because he told the truth about the Great Barrier Reef. And that's what they do. If you're honest and good science and dare to fight the establishment, you'll be lucky if you only lose your funding.
As a geologist, though, do you think that maybe that era of the science might be ending and we go back to real science, which means that we can disagree, we can question, and all that matters is, does your data and your theory hold up?
It is, and we have to get back to that. What they're promoting at the EPA and many of these government institutions is consensus science, not true science. And did you know that 48 out of the 50 states do not teach the scientific method in high school, middle school? They removed it some 20 plus years ago. They're teaching what they're doing with the schools or in the EPAs, indoctrinating our children into this climate cult. And we're fighting back against it. Last year, we had the scientific method was added to the curriculum in North Carolina. And we're systematically taking on various states to get that added back to the curriculum.
I had no idea that was removed from the curriculum. So they took the scientific method out and they replaced it with essentially faith-based science. We have people, this is our faith, you shall believe this, and you are holy, in other words. I mean, really kind of a scientific religion of sorts.
It is, and it's very sad. And that's why we're doing this. We launched the CO2 Learning Center because our members, we've some 200 of the top experts in the world. Our members were very concerned about the state of science education in America. As it turns out, they have every right to be. We got kicked out of the National Science Teaching Association's annual meeting last spring. They actually booted us. There were 14,000 people in attendance. We had a double booth and were providing the truth about climate change. And they came down, their top dogs, you need to get rid of all this. And I said, we're not going to take this down. This is science.
Yeah, the educators, said, though.
You need to leave.
All groupthink. That's all. It's all it is groupthink then. It's not an education. It's not science. It's groupthink.
They promote consensus. Michael Crichton, the famous author and scientist, he said science is not consensus, and consensus is not science. My favorite quote on consensus, though, was Richard Feynman, who said, now think about it, this is a great quote. I would rather have questions that can't be answered than answers that can't be questioned.
Great quote.
And that's what we have. That's what we have right now in the climate science, and what should be a debate is they're telling us the answer, and you dare not question. You dare not. If you're a professor, you're going to lose your funding. You're going to get fired. You'll be looked at in scorn by your peers. It takes a brave, brave scientist at a university to stand up and tell the truth. And it turns out there aren't very many brave scientists.
Well, real reform is going to come in academia, and I appreciate you sharing this and trying to get at it from the educational side too, Gregory. Thanks so much for being on. It's Gregory Wrightstone once again, best-selling author of A Very Convenient Warming, How Modest Warming and More CO2 Are Benefiting Humanity. I'll get all your information up as always. Greg, Merry Christmas and enjoy your ho-ho-hoing down in the Florida area. We'll talk in the new year, okay? Be well.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. It's a couple minutes after 7. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, and KBXG Grants Pass.